Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blog Talk Radio.
I heard a conversation the other day between two Christians. One was a backslider and he'd lost his faith in Christ. He began to tell the Christian about his experiences, and this is what he said. He said, I've been so sick, in and out of the hospital, just from one sickness to the other. And the Christian said, tell me about it. And as they talked, the backslider said, I don't even think I can get well. And the Christian said, where is your faith? Tell me where is your faith in God? You see, he knew it was impossible to please the Lord without faith. And they kept on talking. The backslider said, I'm in trouble. I've got a case and I'm going to court next week. I don't have a good lawyer to plead my case. And I'm worried, don't know which way to turn. The Christian said again, where is your faith? You've got to learn how to trust him. Tell me where is your faith? In God. They kept on talking. The Christian wanted to find something that would encourage the man. The man said, and now I've been sick so long, I've lost my job. Christian said, let's talk about it. The man said, well, since I've been out of work and been sick, all my bills are past due. The Christian said, I know what you're talking about. Where is your faith? Stretch out on your faith. Tell me where is your faith? Where is your faith in God? Somebody listening to me know exactly what the man was going through. They kept on talking. The man said, and just laying around with the wrong crowd and getting out of the church, I picked up a bad habit. Christian said, well, tell me about it. He said, I think I'm hooked. And it doesn't seem like I can break free. The man said, don't you know God specializes? Where is your faith? Oh, bless God. Tell me where is your faith? In God. They kept on talking. Christian was determined to give that boy some faith and some courage. He said, well, my doctor bills have been so high from my sickness and my court case that I've run out of money. I don't draw no Social Security. I'm not on welfare. And I'm down to my last dime. The Christians say that's when God wants to step in for you. Where is your faith? Oh, bless God. Tell me where is your faith in God, Lord God? Where is your faith in God? Now, before I leave, maybe you're sick. Maybe you're going to court. Maybe your money's run out. Maybe you even have a habit and you prayed about it and it just does not seem like things are going to break for you. But I'd like to leave this with you just like the Christian told that man. By your faith. Thank you, Jesus.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, founder, owner, and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network, and I'd like to welcome you to Gap Ministries Bible Study for this Thursday, September the 16th, 2021. And now, my brothers and sisters, here is your host and anointed facilitator, Apostle J. Leon Travis. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Bishop. Thanking God for this opportunity. I'd like to thank God for all the listeners that are in the studio on tonight and praising God for a timely word that he's given us on tonight. And I'm just going to open up with a little prayer here, and we'll go from there and let the Holy Ghost make have his way. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, glory, and we just magnify you. We glorify you, and we just thank you for this opportunity. I ask right now in Jesus' name that it is you that speak through me and speak as well as speaking to me. I ask that the Holy Ghost would have freedom and have his way in me and touch the lives and the hearts of the people upon this network that are listening in on tonight, and our CEO and founder, Bishop Shirlene Cook, our covering. And Father God, we ask that the blood of Jesus would cover each and every one of us from the things and the dangers and the trials and situations of the world. And Father, I yield to you tonight that you would just have your way. Open up the hearts and the minds of the people that they would hear this word, that this word would take root in their hearts, and that it would become tender and pliable, that their heart would become the perfect soil, that the word would spring forth in abundance, that they would share it with those near and far. And that is in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. All right. Tonight, we are going to talk about a question that God asked me. And as a matter of fact, he asked me this morning. He said, ask the people, where are you? And when I was sharing it with Bishop, she said, oh, so, you know, he want to know why are people ghosting him. So that kind of played together, you know, salt and light, you know, iron sharpens iron. And that was just such a blessing that when I got it, my soul and my spirit just got so excited. So it was some things that I had been looking at anyway in the book of Genesis, and we're going to take a trip in that third chapter. We're going to journey in that chapter, and we're going to start at that first verse, and we're going to stop at 15. But I want you to focus on Genesis 3 and 9 with the question that God is asking. And he's going to show us what it is that he's speaking to us in this hour, in this season, and in the times that we're living in now. Amen. So in the book of Genesis, and I'm reading from a King James Version, and I'm starting at third chapter in that first verse. Now we're going to talk about, it's not so much what we're talking about, but in this particular chapter, it talks about the fall of man, which is the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And in verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, which is Eve, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And in verse 2, the woman Eve said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. In verse 3, it says, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. verse 5, for God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. 6 says, and when the woman, Eve, saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and I want you guys to write those two things, three things down. Good for the food, good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes. And the tree was to be desired to make one wise. And she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and also, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. In verse 8 it says, and they heard, again, they heard the voice of God, the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now here it comes. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And in 10 he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. 11 he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree where I have commanded thee that thou should not eat? And in 12 it says, the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, why is it this that thou hast done? In other words, what have you done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. In other words, the serpent tricked her or enticed her, and I did eat. 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because this has you have done this, thou shalt be cursed above cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And in 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, here's what I'm going to say. I believe God for the reading of this word. I believe God for those whose ears are prepared to hear the word of God. I believe God for a transformation of your mind. I believe God for a repositioning of where you are now. I believe God that this word today, right now, on this network, is going to reach the depths of your soul and place you in the position where you're supposed to be, so that when the question is asked of you, when the enemy asks God, where are they now? God can respond and say, they're where I have them, where I purpose them. If y'all getting this, get it, because it's needed. The word where means, in or what place or position, a place or a situation. Now, when we look at the place, the position, and the situation from Genesis 3, verse 1, all the way down to 15, it talks about the first place that they were in, the position they were, Adam and Eve were in, was in a great position. They were favored of God. They were chosen and created by God, the first man and woman. They were placed in the richness of the Garden of Eden. They had the opportunity to eat from any place that they wanted to, except for the tree that was in the midst of the garden. And God had already shared with them and instructed them not to do so. Your obedience can place you in a position, and your disobedience can place you in a position and a situation. And that's what it did. Now, this is the thing. My question to you, where are you now with God? Are you distant from him? Are you distant from Christ? Are you distant from the Holy Ghost? Are you disconnected? Are you not tuned in? Are you not aligned with the word of God? Are you not syncopated with the move of the Holy Ghost? Where are you? Are you under the shelter of the Most High and abiding under the shadow of his almighty wings? Or are you out there in the world causing havoc and living in sin, doing anything and everything except for the will of God and doing what's right and what's holy and what's righteous. Where are you now? Ask yourself that question. You don't have to look in the mirror. You can ask yourself that same question that I ask myself, that I ask my children, that I ask my friends. When God gave me this, what I'm going to do on tomorrow, the people that I work with, I'm going to ask them, where are you? And that's going to be my opening to give them a word from God, because God is looking for those. He is seeking those who – he's looking for those who would diligently seek him. Seek him. Just like even when last week we were talking about the book of Chronicles, we were talking about 2 Chronicles 7. We were talking about that 13th to the 16th verse. But in that 14th verse, he says, if my people – God is asking, where are you if? Are you in an if position? Are you – is it if you may, you know, where you might go and do something for God today, or are you putting it off until tomorrow? Well, God know my heart, but the thing of it is, you're not where you need to be, because if you keep saying that God knows your heart, where you are now is still lost. Where you are now is not in correct alignment, because if God knows your heart, which he does, you should be saying, I know the heart of God. So this is where I am. I'm not going to go and eat of something or partake of something that he has warned me not to do. Now, you've got things in this world that's of Satan, that's set up and designed to beguile you. And the enemy knows where you're headed. The enemy knows where you are. The enemy will not come after you if he don't think that you're more worthy to God and the kingdom and the building of God. Then if he's already got you, he don't need you. That means he's already used you. You've used up, and the best thing for you to do then, where you are then, is caught up in sin and headed to hell. But where you should be is repentance, turning from those things, turning from your wicked ways, seeking God, praying and fasting, and again, repenting. Where are you? Are you in a repentant state from your situation? Where are you? Are you still stuck in Lodabar? And Lodabar could be used as a launching pad. It could be used from somewhere. Your situation where you are now can be used to launch you, to propel you into the place where you're supposed to be. See, God doesn't have to ask us, where are we? But, you know, there's another scripture in Ezekiel 22 and 30. He says the prophet said that God was seeking someone to stand in a gap, to make up the hedge, you know, to stand in need for what the will of God needs in the earth. But he couldn't find anybody. Therefore, he couldn't deter the destruction that was coming. Where are you? Are you in your rightful place with God? Are you in your rightful position? Are you in something simply because it has a title? But are you in the purpose? Because if you're in it because of the title, then you're lost. Because, see, you're either found or you're lost. Because if you're in it for the title, then you're not where you should be in the purpose. The purpose is what God wills. The purpose is what God wants to come to pass, as long as, and watch this, as long as it's God's purpose. Because remember, Satan has a purpose too. His purpose was to beguile the woman, because he felt like she was unguarded, because Adams was doing something, whatever he had to do. See, there goes another one. Where are you? Are you where you're supposed to be? Are you there protecting someone? Are you there connected to someone? Are you there to keep the enemy? Because, see, there's power in numbers. There's power in agreement. Iron sharpens iron. How can two walk together unless they agree upon a thing? Where are you in your life? Where are you upon building? Are you a builder, or are you somebody that tears it down? Are you an architect or a construction worker, or are you the person that come in and you become the vagrant, you know, that you want to live off of somebody else's purpose? You want to ride Lot's coat into what you think is, I mean, you want to be Lot and ride Abraham's coat into what you think is better than what God has given Abraham. Where are you? Where are you in your thinking? Where are you in your heart? Are you forgiving people the way God wants you to forgive? Are you living, you want God to have goodness and mercy to follow you all the days of your life, but where are you and what are you leading? Because if you're not
showing mercy and goodness to other people, goodness and mercy shouldn't be following you. Where are you in these things? Where are you? And not only where are you, when God calls upon you, like Bishop said today, are you ghosting him? Are you putting him on hold? Are you turning and saying, well, I'll get to that tomorrow, or I'll do it when I straighten my life up. I'll do it when I stop smoking cigarettes. I'll do it when I stop going to the club. But where are you? Wherever you are right then and there, God is always with you. Even in hell, he is with you. Even when you're going through your trials, thank you, Holy Ghost, even when you're going through your trials and your mishaps, even in the times where you were on those drugs and pumping that stuff in your vein, God was still with you. Because you know how? How do you know, Apostle J? Simply because it didn't take you out. See, the enemy went and spoke with Eve to take her out. Because his purpose was, he knew where they was, but what he wanted to do was take them out. See, the enemy knows where you are with God, but his job is to take you out of where you are. His job is to put you where he wants you to be. His job is to put you in hell and in the things of the kingdom of darkness. His job is to put you in darkness so you won't be in the light. Where are you now? Are you living in darkness or are you in the light? Where are you? What is it that you want? What are you trying to do? When God calls you, do you hide from him like Adam and Eve? Because, see, God asked them a simple question. You got to know one thing. God is omnipotent and omnipresent. He knows all things, sees all things at all times. He knew where they were. He gives us that opportunity to just come clean. And they did. But at first he hid himself. You don't have to hide yourself from God because he sees it all. He see your nakedness. He see you in your struggles. He see you in your downtrodden condition. But you know what he truly sees? He sees you where he has placed you from the beginning of time. He sees you in his image. He sees you in his purpose. He sees you in his plan. He sees you in his heart. He sees you in his mind. That's where you should be, in the will of God. Where are you right now? I'm going to keep asking this until you get this. Where are you? Are you lost? Well, guess what? You can be found. Because when God asked Adam and Eve, where are you? All you have to do is say, Father, here I am, as humbly as I can be. Use me. Help me. I repent. I turn from my wicked ways. I need you. Where are you? Are you in a position where you can be humble and go to God? It's simple. Yes, you are. That's where you are. There is nothing too hard for God. So if it's not too hard and you're made in His image, is nothing too hard for you, because with God, all things are possible, even your current condition. Talking to somebody right now, I'm talking to a multitude of people who are lost. Where are you? But guess what? You're found. All you have to do is say, Father, here I am. Use me. Send me. He's waiting on you. When he asked Adam and Eve, where are you? It wasn't because he didn't know where they were. He wanted them to speak up and say, I did something I shouldn't have done, but I need you. And you know what he did? He cursed the serpent. He told Satan, because Satan was in the serpent. He transformed that spirit, got into the serpent, and that serpent was cursed. Now, you don't want to be cursed to a point where the only thing you can eat is dust. What that means is there is nothing worth consuming, nothing that would be nurturing to you, nothing that would get you to where you need to be. Where are you? Are you a builder or are you a one that tear down things? Are you somebody that wants to go in and demolish things? You know, do you do those things? Are you a person that walk up to people and just say, hey, God bless you. He told me to give you this. Are you bold? Are you a believer? You don't have to say, well, you know, thou's these and thus, and I got my Bible and I want to hit you with it. All you got to do is to be the living word of God. That's where you need to be. Are you one of those people? Where are you? Are you so caught up in your title and your position that you're unapproachable, where people have to go through 17 people to get to you? Now, I'm talking to servant leavers right now. Because if we are, we've lost the path. because if we are, we've eaten from the wrong tree. Because, see, there's something that we can't eat from, Jezebel's table and that tree in the midst of the garden. That tree in the midst of the garden is chaos, it's deception. That's what Satan did in the beginning. He deceived the woman, and then it doesn't say she seduced the man, she offered it to the man. You have to know what to offer to someone to feed them substance and nourishment. You can't feed people anything, and you shouldn't accept anything. So where are you in your thinking? Where are you in your level of wisdom? Where are you in your level in your anointing? Because you know what? The enemy will come for the very elect. We're living in a time right now where the very elect are even severely deceived. Where are you? When God comes to you and say, hey, I need you to get up and go to Missouri and do this X, Y, and Z. So are you in a position of obedience? Are you in a position of faith? Where are you? Are you in a position where you're going to do exactly what he says so that situation where he's sending you to will have the right plan, the right outcome, and the right purpose? Or are you going to say, well, Lord, you know I ain't got this here and I ain't got this, so now you want to ghost God. You want to put it on the back burner. I'll wait till I get some money, Father. I can wait until I get that promotion at work, you know, or I can wait till I get that new vehicle because I don't want them seeing me riding in Missouri in my old vehicle. You ghosting God because now you're putting him on the back burner. In other words, you're sending him to voicemail. You can't send God to voicemail because it's his voice that supersedes the voicemails. It's his voice that don't have to have a Wi-Fi or internet connection. It's his voice that you need to hear. Where are you in your hearing? Where are you in the openness of your heart? Because there are some things that, beloved of God, that we know that we're not doing that we're supposed to. We're not perfect, but in that verse where it says, the sixth verse, it says that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes, remember I said, write that down, good for food and pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired. Sometimes what look good ain't always good for you. There is such a thing as eye candy. So where are you in your wisdom and your discernment right there? Where are you in what you really want from God? See, your actions can determine your situation. It can either keep you in it or it can bring you out of it. If you want things more than you want God, then guess what? You're going to be caught up in the things that's going to later on. They're going to wither away. They're going to dry up, and they're going to become corrupted. They're going to wither away to rust and to nothing. But if you're in the things of God, if you're there with God, if your position and your situation and your placement is where God wants you to be, you're going to be in the position of eternity. You're going to be in the position of kingdom rule. You'll be in the position of the body of Christ where you'll be functional and impacting, where you can do the things of God like he expects us to do. See, God expected Adam and Eve to go to take care of everything in the garden. You know how I know? Why? Because God gave them dominion. He told them to be fruitful, to multiply. You know, he told them where they needed to be. You need to be fruitful. You need to be multiplied. You need to multiply. You need to have dominion. You need to have authority. You need to subdue. You need to dress and keep it. He gave them a sevenfold Edenic anointing, and they gave it up for one bite of something off of a tree of fruit that God told them to not partake of. There are some things in your thinking right now and in your heart. Where are you in that thinking when God told you don't do it? Where are you when he said don't answer that text message because you already been through that, and you've been through it because I took you through it and I bought you out. But where are you? Are you trying to go back? Are you looking more for things in this world? Don't get me wrong, because I'm a woman. But are you praying for a husband, and once you get him, you forget all about God? Where are you? Because wherever you are, God sees it. See, they knew that they were naked. God knew that they were naked. They didn't know they were naked until they ate of the food, but God knew that they were naked. In other words, he placed them in that position in the natural because he was letting us know, because it happens in the realm of the spirit first. He sees us in our nakedness, meaning in the things that we think that we got hidden from God, it is exposed, open, wide, and is right there. I mean, you don't even have to say where is that because God sees all of that. He asks you where are you simply because he needs your response so he can guide you into the right place. He wants to be that lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. He wants to lead you down a and make, you know, wherever you're going around the crooked places, he want to make the crooked places straight and the rough areas move. He wants to lead you to a point in your faith where you can command the mountains to move, not climb the mountain, not go around the mountain, but to tell the mountain to remove. And he wants you to be in a position, he wants to say, well, when Satan come up and say, well, why can't I try so-and-so, so-and-so? Because you got your head on. Well, go ahead on, because I know where they are. I know that they're faithful to me. I know that they love me. I know that they're going to serve me. I know that no matter what goes on in their life, come hell or high water, they're going to serve me. I know where they are. But do you know where they are? But see, when Satan comes at God and asks him for you, but the only thing that Satan wants to do to you is to kill, steal, and destroy you. He wants to sift you as wheat. He wants to sift you from the substance that God has pulled you from. He wants to sift you out, meaning he wants to suck out all of the anointing. He wants to suck out all of your purpose, all of your dominion, all of your authority. He wants to sift that out of you. He wants to keep continuing to plant tares amongst the wheat. See, you have to know where you are. Are you in the fields gleaning out of obedience and loyalty like Ruth did? Are you sitting between two cities like the prophetess Deborah, who was both judge and prophet? Are you like Elijah? Are you so afraid of what Jezebel is talking about doing that you went somewhere and hid in a cave? Where are you? Are you like Samson? You tearing out all of your God-given treasures. Because, see, God gives you hidden riches and secret treasures. Some things you don't reveal to people. But when you talk too much, the enemy will send somebody to you to figure out, well, I know where they are in the mind. I know what they're looking for. Uh-huh. I know that she's looking for a husband. I know that he's looking for a wife. So let me go ahead and seduce him. Well, where are you then? Once you think you got what you asked for, which should not have been that food that you ate in the middle of the garden, stay with me because I'm going somewhere with it. You went there, and the enemy sent you to eat from that food, from that tree, because he knew you wanted a man more than you wanted God. He knew that you wanted a woman more than you wanted God. You just use God like some people use him as an ATM. Where are you? Are you standing in front of God always asking for something instead of asking him, what can I do?
Come on.
What do you have of me? Where are you? Are you looking for a handout and a blessing more than you're looking for the blesser? Are you looking for the anointing of the oil to just be on you so people can say, oh, they are anointed? Are you looking for the anointed one who came and redeemed our life? Because, see, there is one sent anointed one that who has a higher esteem than any of us. He don't have to be escorted down an aisle. He don't have to come in with all this grandeur, because when he comes back this time, he's coming on the cloud. And the thing of it is, the thing that we got to see is, where will we be? Where are you when the rapture comes? Where are you when, are you going to be in a right state and in the right position? Are you going to be in the right place? Are you going to be in a situation like Adam and Eve were, where you're going to be thrown out of eternity and cast into hell? Oh, wow, that's the Holy Ghost right there. See, God is asking this earth, the people of the earth, where are you now? It's not people who are called by my name will pray and fast and humble themselves. He's telling us that we're not in the position or the place we're supposed to be. He's asking us. He sees our nakedness. You don't want God to have to kill an animal like he had to do with Adam and Eve to clothe us. We are already supposed to be clothed in righteousness. We're supposed to be clothed in holiness. We're supposed to be clothed in the whole arm of God. We're supposed to be covered and clothed in the blood of Jesus. Where are you? Are you out there in them streets knowing that you shouldn't be in them streets, but because you got somebody in your ear saying, oh, it's going to be, you know what, you made $40,000 last month, man. Let's go on out there and hit this hill, and let's pump these drugs into these kids. Where are you? Because where you going to end up if you don't repent? Where are you? Where are they going to find you? That's my question. Where will they find you? Now, we know where you are if you're out there doing wrong, but where will you end up?
Yes.
You have an opportunity right now to turn from your ways. You have an opportunity right now to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. You have an opportunity right now to say, Father, here I am. I forgive me, even though if you don't know what you're doing, even though if you do know what you're doing, forgive me, Father. I repent right now. But I want to be, where are you? I want to be in right standing with you. I want to be, where am I going to end up? I want to be in your presence in eternity. I don't want you to say, depart from me, for I know ye not. Because some people are going to go to him and say, well, Lord, I cast out, I baptized people in your name, and I did this in your name. Well, you know what? I can say something about Neiman Marcus. It has nothing to do with the label on your clothes that you wear, but how you wear the clothes and how you're robed in them. See, some people feel like because they're wearing all of this, that, and the other, and the Michael Kors and the Chanel and the Prada and the Ada and the Nada, that makes them, but they ain't got nothing to do with it. Just like them fig leaves that garment that God puts on you covers you, baby. You need to be where God wants you to be. You got to be where God wants you to be. Where are you? Where will you end up? And why are ghosting God? Stop sending God to voicemail. Stop sending God to the next day. Stop saying that He knows my heart. That's ghosting him.
Yes.
God know your heart, but do you know his heart? See, how we got to do this thing right. You can't sit and continue to stay in a mud pile and don't think that you're not going to want to keep eating a muddy pie. Because if whatever you eat, that's what you become. As a man thinketh, so is he.
Where are
you in your mindset? Where do you want to end up and spend eternity? Today, you have an opportunity. You can either get on a chat or you can push your one with Bishop tell you. You can make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Even if you are in a fallen state, you could be the worst pimp, prostitute, drug addict, or whoremonger. You can be the worst liar because Abraham lied. Plenty of them lied, and God still used them. Noah got drunk, he used them. Abraham told a lie that Sarah was his sister instead of his wife. He is now the father of many nations. You, wherever you are now, you need to think about where you want to end up. And
Amen.
I don't even want to use where it end up. You need to know where you're going to spend eternity.
Because
you're in eternity, that's where you will
you're there.
Be. And the last thing God going to ask you then is where are you? Because you're going to know it yourself. Amen for the word tonight.
Amen for the word tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can't be ghosting God. We can't be ghosting God.
Can't sit on them.
And let me tell you something. I'm going to go back to the saints for a second before I open up these lines to the people of God. I played that song at the top of this program. Where is your faith? That's God asking, where are you?
Come on.
Just because we're going through a pandemic, just because times are getting hard, instead of turning to God, you're turning to the bottle. You're turning to your drugs. You're turning to your cocktail, your Valium. You're turning to everything but who you're supposed to be turning to. He's asking you, where is your faith? Where are you? Do you not believe that I can bring you through? Do you not believe that I can bring you out? But see, I'm going to tell you something. We might as well get real. We ghost on God. We ghost God because you know what? We're afraid that God is going to ask us to do something that we already know we're too selfish to do. Think about that. Not me. I heard sis say, oh, no, not now, Lord. I'm in my comfort zone. Wait a minute, Lord. Let me give myself to death. Wait. What do you think that is?
Ghosting them.
You're ghosting God. But see, God wants you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. that the Holy Ghost, that spirit that will help you to stand. So if you're in the room tonight, this was a wonderful, wonderful, timely word, Apostle. In the room tonight and you want to give your life to Christ or you want to say amen, you want to just bless the Apostle, if you press your 1, I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. If you're in the chat room and you would like to have a word or you would like to type, do that now and I will relay it to Apostle for you. And we do have a faithful, one of Gap Ministries most faithful in the house tonight. So while I wait and I scan, Elder Leola, would you like to come on in the room and have a word?
Bishop, that was a great word that I heard.
Yes, it was.
I just don't have words for it. But where are you? Where are you? Some of us in places where we don't understand, but God is asking me, where are you? My only thing is we answer the call. That's all I have.
In the name of Jesus, I just come praising your holy and righteous name. First and foremost, God, I want to thank you for the servant of God. And Lord, I want to thank you for the message, the powerful and timely message. Lord God, I know that you want all of your children. You don't want anybody to perish, Father God. So I'm just praying right now that they would take my sister's word.
In the name of
they would
Jesus.
Hear it in the name of Jesus and graft it in their heart. Hallelujah. Father God, your children, we cannot be ghosting you. So, Father, I pray against the spirit of complacency. I pray against that spirit of fear. I pray against that spirit of pride. I pray against them all, one and all, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, I pray right now, hallelujah, that folks will understand, God, this is not a drill, but this is a call to action. Hallelujah. And we're going to either live for you or we're not. We're going to obey you or we won't. So, Lord God, let us stand. Let our yeas be yeas and our nays be nays. Let us stand boldly and convicted in you, living out loud a righteous and holy life for the world to see, Lord. It might not be popular. It might not be fashionable. But, Lord, we want to be pleasing unto you. So I want to thank you for this word, and I pray that people all over this world will answer the question, where are you? And that they will come to you, Father God, and they will ask Jesus to be their Lord and their Savior, and that they would make you the head of their lives, and that they would look to you from which cometh all of our help. And, Father, I pray that you would not allow the enemy to snatch their seeds of faith before they have had time to take root, Lord, and grow. I continue to pray for servant leaders, Father God. May they be as Apostle J. Leon and Elder Leola and go forth boldly and preach with conviction your word.
Yes, Lord.
Not agendas, not policies
yes,
and procedures, but
yes,
your righteous
Lord.
And holy word, that transforming
Hallelujah.
Word, God, that will move us, Lord God, from glory to glory, that will ensure, Father God, that we spend our eternity with you, because the wages of sin is death. Hallelujah. And, Father God, we want to hear nothing but well done, my good and faithful servant. So, Lord God, I just pray for the hearts and mindsets all over this world, because tonight a Rhema word has gone forth. But I praise you because I know that your word does not come void. And I know, Lord, that your word will always do, hallelujah, what you set it out to do. So, Lord, I'm just thanking you and praising you for the new converts, Lord God. I'm thanking you and praising you, Father God, for the backsliders, Lord God, that are returning home tonight. Lord God, I want to thank you, hallelujah, for those who were encouraged tonight, empowered tonight, equipped tonight. Because, Lord, we want it all to give you the honor and the glory and the praise in your holy, righteous, magnificent name. We do pray it all. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, if there be nothing else, hallelujah, I see no ones, I see no comments coming up. So, my beautiful one, you taught that. But you know what I love about this is that this message was so powerful and it had so much meat that, you know, a lot of people are taking notes. And I like
Amen.
That, you know, and they're taking it in. They're drinking it in. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
And that's what I love about it. I don't care about all the you know, how these people, some of these preachers, they get their wind-ups and they've got their theatrical silent pauses and they go through their
that
don't save anybody. Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do grandeur
that has
and
nothing to do with,
entertainment.
That has nothing
has
to do
nothing
with
to do
the
with
Lord
the
or the Holy Spirit or nothing
mm-hmm.
else. Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing.
And we're not
and
that
what
type of people. We're not that
I know
type
we're
of
not,
leader.
And that's what I praise God for, because we just, you know, we just bring you the word. All we have
Amen.
For you is Jesus, Jesus, and more Jesus.
And more Jesus. Amen.
That's all we have. And a lot, whole lot of love. Love for one another, one for our Lord, a lot of love for our Lord and Savior, and a lot of love for you. So we just want to thank everybody, and there are a lot of you in the chat rooms tonight. I want to thank all my young people for stopping by tonight, and all of you that are listening via your computers and Instagram and Skype. We praise God for you. Again, we want to welcome our new territories in Africa. Hallelujah. We want to thank our brothers and sisters down there in Tanzania. And we have some listeners in Tangiers. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We want to thank the Lord. We're even being listened to in Belize. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You know, hallelujah, because some folks need the Lord. Everybody needs Jesus, but there are some countries that need the Lord more than others.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But I praise God that, you know, the Lord is increasing our territory. And so and we couldn't do that. He, you know, that wouldn't be happening if you weren't listening. So I'd just like to take a moment to thank all of our listeners from around this globe for making the Spirit Alive Network one of the number one Christian podcast networks on the internet today. So from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network, on behalf of your wonderful facilitator, Apostle Jaylion Travis, hallelujah, her beautiful and faithful sister, our sister,
Amen.
Elder Leola Williams. And my God, I know I'm trying to get it around this tongue, honey. And I'm of course, I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, your executive producer. We want to say we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed weekend, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours. It is truly our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night,
Thank
and God
you.
Bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. Good night.
Amen. God
bless everyone.
Good night.